Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Exodus chapter 16. And then as you're getting ready to turn there, just look at your neighbor and tell them you're sure glad to see them today. Really good to have all of you. This is, of course, not what we would consider our typical routine on a Sunday morning, but we should take time out to honor all of our veterans. It is the right thing to do, and we do it from a heart of gratitude, great love and respect and thankfulness. So again, to all of you who have served in whatever branch of military that may be, to all of our officers, to all of those who work in city government, we really sincerely appreciate your efforts and all that you do serving day in and day out. We started a series last week. It's called No Fear November. And last week we talked about the fear of rejection. This morning I want to talk about the fear of the unknown. And again, I do apologize for the video. It was to set it up. That's what this is about this morning, is the fear of the unknown. There are 125 different commands and imperatives that Jesus gives throughout the scriptures. 125. Of those 125, 21 of those deal with the topic of fear. The second most common command in all of Scripture that Jesus gave was to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And this was mentioned by Jesus 8 times throughout the New Testament. So when you look that the Lord talked about our fears, and in Scripture he makes reference, he says, do not be afraid, fear not, take courage. He says it 21 different times. So it's very obvious that Jesus cares deeply about our fears. Jesus understood how that our fears would impact the way that we follow him. And so he took our fears seriously. And of course, I know that we all do as well. So the goal of this series, this month, which is called No Fear November, the goal of the series is not how can we teach you to fear less, but the goal of this series is rather, how can we trust God more? Can I get a witness? If you feel overcome by fears in different parts of your life, it's really not so much a fear problem. What it really is, it's a faith problem. And I want to take the word of the Lord for the next 20 minutes or so this morning and show you what I mean by that. The best example comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 16. And if any of you this morning, most of you have probably had some type of history growing up in church, you will remember the story of the Israelites. Now, they've been in captivity for what some theologians think is around 400 years. They've been in this captivity in Egypt. And now God raises up a man named Moses to go to Pharaoh. And when Moses goes to Pharaoh, God uses him to bring about what is known as the plagues of Egypt. It's God literally working miracles through Moses, and it's the plagues of lice and the plagues of frogs, the plagues of darkness. And ultimately, the very last plague is the plague where the Lord takes the firstborn of every family. So we go through these series of plagues until finally God, through Moses, convinces Pharaoh to let his people go. And from the very moment that the Israelites were set free, they start on this journey toward the promised land, and God allowed them time and time again to come face to face with the fear of the unknown. And if you know anything about this story, then you know that Pharaoh is probably sitting there. He's realizing that now all of these free labor, these slaves are gone. Just my imagination, he's like, no, this is not going to happen. I'm the most powerful man in the world, and let's go get them. So they get in their chariots, they get on their horses, and man, here they go. Like a mighty stampede after the Israelites. And so Pharaoh is coming after them, and there's this dramatic scene in the book of Exodus where the Israelites come right up to the edge of the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army is closing in on them. Now, what you got to remember now is that the Israelites had just seen a series of unbelievable miracles. These were called the plagues of Egypt, but they were miracles by God to help bring about the deliverance of his people. And these unbelievable miracles that these Israelites had seen, you would think after they had seen all of that, that they would have a tremendous amount of faith in God. But guess what? They don't. Here's what they do. They start to whine and they start to complain. And this is what they said. Man, we just wish that God would have left us in Egypt instead of bringing us out here to die. So now Moses is at the edge of the Red Sea, and the Lord speaks to him and he says, Moses, take your staff. Don't cry, just take your staff and I'm going to work. And he takes it, he holds it out over the Red Sea, and a mighty wind of God begins to blow, and the Red Sea parts. They walk through on dry ground. And if you know a little bit about Scripture, when they get past the Red Sea, they get across, the Bible says that Miriam took a tamarind. Her and Moses, Aaron, they begin to dance, and they begin to sing, and they begin to sing a song. How great God is. Man, isn't God so good? Isn't God so great to bring us out of Egypt and through the Red Sea and to deliver us from being captives? And they're singing and they're dancing and they're rejoicing over the mighty works of the Lord. But as you keep reading, they go 3 days in the wilderness. And now all of a sudden, here they go. They're like, we don't have anything to drink. We have nothing to drink. So did the Lord bring us out here to die? And God speaks to Moses and tells him, hey, I want you to take this tree. Throw this tree in the bitter waters of Marah, and it's going to make it sweet. Made it sweet. They had something to drink. And man, you would think that now, again, their faith is restored. They know God is with them. They're excited about where he's going to take them. But keep reading. And you find that now they get hungry. And they start complaining again. What are we going to eat? I mean, where are we going to get food? And now they're complaining. And then God speaks to Moses and he says, Moses, I'm going to bring bread down from heaven. It's going to be called manna, but I'm going to deliver it to their front door. Angels are going to bake it every morning, and I'm going to deliver it fresh to them. So here bread falls down from heaven and literally comes to their front door. All they have to do is walk, get it, partake, and eat. And you would think now, man, when they see this miracle, they're going to have a lot of faith. They're going to be so supercharged and remember the miraculous powers of God. But keep reading. They don't. They keep traveling. They keep journeying. And guess what? They get thirsty again. And they start complaining again. God, we can't believe you brought us out here. Now we're going to die. God speaks to Moses. He tells Moses, he said, I want you to strike the rock. He strikes the rock and water comes out of it. And here water from a rock. And you would think that after they had seen the plagues of Egypt, the Red Sea depart, come through, and Pharaoh's army drowns in the sea. God miraculously feeds them bread from heaven. He brings water out of a rock, that now they would have all of this faith and confidence in God. Man, they would be so just on cloud nine, so to speak, in faith. But guess what? They're not. Fear comes back, and now they're wondering, how in the world are we going to get through this wilderness? And God shows up again, and he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be a cloud by day, and I'm going to be a pillar of fire by night. In other words, when I get ready to go, you follow this cloud, and I'm going to lead you. Can you imagine having your own personal cloud? I'm not talking about Apple. I'm talking about the power of the Holy Spirit in a cloud that says, when I get ready to go, I'm going to start moving and you follow me. And that is exactly what the Lord did for them in the wilderness. Now you would think that after all of that, they would be so faith field. But you see in this passage, over and over, they complain again and again. And here's what is important to note. It's important to note that fear is a faith killer. Fear erases the faithfulness from our memory. And now the reason that that's a problem is because if you can't remember God's faithfulness in your past, then you will not trust him in your future. So you have to understand that fear erases God's faithfulness. And this is what we see happening over and over again in the lives of the Israelites. They don't remember God's faithfulness in the past, so they don't trust him for their future. If you have your Bibles, I want you to look at Exodus chapter 16. I want you to look at verse 2. Then it says this, then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Verse 3. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. Now, this is important to note. Again, historians, theologians say somewhere around 400 years they've been slaves. They've only been free now for a couple of weeks. And they're already saying, we want to go back. They were willing, brothers and sisters, to forego their freedom because it required them to journey into the fear of the unknown. And they were willing, think about this, willing to go back and be slaves, for at least there in Egypt, they knew what to expect. Was it a great life that they had in Egypt? No. It was a mediocre life at best. But they wanted to go back. And why did they want to go back? Because at least it was predictable. They knew what to expect. Now, let me ask you this. Do you want to know why that some of you are stuck in your past? Do you want to know why some of you are living lives of mediocrity? Do you want to know why some of you keep going over the same mistakes again and again and again? I'm not trying to be harsh, but here's the reality. You are choosing that. Whether consciously or subconsciously, you're making a choice that you would rather stay in a predictable pattern of your past. No matter how painful those patterns may be, you would rather stay in that than to take a risk and venture out into the unknown where you would have to trust a God that you physically cannot see. Can I preach to y'all just a minute? And this is exactly what fear does to us. Fear is like a fence. Fear is like a fence. And fear, what it does is it creates limits in all of our minds. See, fear will establish the limits of your life. What do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. Because everything inside of this fence for us is pretty predictable. We're pretty acquainted with this. We know what this space means. This is predictable. And this is where most people live their life. They live their life because they're afraid. They live it behind the fence. Because in here, I know this in here. This is known. This is predictable. I can trust this. Janet and I, we've done some studies on women that have been abused. And you will be amazed at how many women that have been verbally, sexually, physically abused go back to the abuser. And yet they may have a shelter that would maybe 2 miles, 4 miles, 10 miles down the road that they could go to, but they willingly stay and go back to that abuse. And it's hard to wrap your mind around that until you understand the thinking. The thinking of that woman is this: better to deal with the devil I know than the devil I don't. And we can say, man, I just can't imagine leaving in a very abusive situation only to go back to it again. Why would they do that? Well, it's the same reason why you and I keep going back to repeated patterns even though they hurt us. Because it's known. It's familiar. And we would rather, brothers and sisters, be inside of something, even though it's not ideal, even though it's not God's best for us, even though there's this great big world out there, we would rather be inside something that is predictable and known than to face the fear of the unknown. Am I helping anybody this morning? See, here's the way that fear works. Here's how it works. Guess what? If you're afraid of heights, what are you going to do? You're going to stay low. Right? Isn't that right? Your favorite verse is this: lo, I'm with you always. If you're afraid of the limits in your life, guess what you do? You don't walk outside the door, because walking outside the door may mean that you're going to encounter something that's not predictable. And so if you don't really like people, guess what you do? You stay in a very comfortable area. You won't take anybody out to eat. You won't make new friends, because your thoughts are, what if they don't like me? What if they don't accept me? So if you fear people, guess what you're going to do? You're going to stay by yourself. Guess what? If you fear failure, here's what you do. You don't even try. You don't even try. I got to really study in this, and I'm saying, what is kind of the basis of this fear? And I come to find out that unpredictability is a major ingredient in fear. What do you mean? If something is unpredictable, then I can't control it. I need a few minutes. That's why some people are afraid of Pentecost. Because it's not predictable. And somebody may let out a whoop. And they're not quite used to that. And so instead of experiencing really what their heart longs for, which is the Spirit, they would rather live in something dead than experience something live. See, the Bible says this, that the wind blows where it wants to. And that's the work of the Spirit. But so many people are into predictability. Church has got to be predictable. People have got to be predictable. God's got to be predictable. And can I tell you, when you sign up with Christ, your life is going to be one adventure after the other. God will never, never, ever leave you where He finds you. Can I get a witness in this house? But here's what happens. Whatever fears you have, they will always, say this with me, they will always establish the limits of my life. Guess what? If you're afraid of flying, guess what you're going to have to do? Drive everywhere. And that's fine. That's no problem. Some people are afraid of heights. I'm fine with that. But here's what I'm saying. Guess what? There's some places you're not going to be able to go to driving. So you say, I don't want to go anyway. Well, that's fine. You don't have to. All I'm trying to get you to see is this. I think that there's a lot of mediocrity out there because they're afraid. And here's how this sounds. Janet and I have had people into our office, and we knew they were struggling in their marriage. And so here's what we do. We say, look, we've been in counseling, and we have a great lady who's really helped us. And why don't you take her number? And they're like, us? Go to counseling? Yeah. Oh. We've never been to counseling before. Really? Oh, no. What? Y'all, I'm not making this up. What if we got in counseling and it didn't work? So in other words, let me get this right. You would rather live in a mediocre marriage than to make one phone call and see if somebody can help you to really live the life God wants you to live. I've talked to people, y'all. I've been in this for almost 30 years now. Talked to a lot of people. People come in my office and say, you know, Pastor, I'm just stuck in my job. And they wake up on Monday mornings and here's their word. Oh God, it's Monday again. And they hate their job. And they come in and they want to talk to you and you're like, look, here's what I'm going to recommend. Why don't you, you're young, why don't you go back to school? Now, I know that can maybe bring some hardships on your family, but hey, in 2 years, man, you can get an associate's degree. You can learn a trade. This, you can come out. And they look, they go back to school. Get a trade. Well, what if that don't work? What if I can't pass school? What if they don't hire me? See what they want is they want me as a pastor to wave a magic wand over them, introduce them to a CEO where they can make $35 an hour and sit there and do nothing. No, they never say that, but that's what they mean. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, the time has to come where you are willing. If I can get out of here. That's like most of y'all. Where you step out of the fear of the unknown and say, you know what? I'm not going to settle on having a mediocre marriage. And guess what? There's a lot of people. Do you realize? I know a lady. I think she's 78 years old. Her name is Janet Trout. She just got her doctorate degree at 78 years young. Pastors in Delaware. You know why? Because she refused to allow fear to be a fence that's going to limit her life. If you are going to come out, you got to come out in faith and realize, look, if God did it once, He can do it again. And God don't bring you. Come on, God don't bring you out of Egypt to get you in the wilderness just to watch you die. God didn't use all His miraculous power for you to see this and then think, oh my God, what's He going to do with me now? The work that God has started in each and every one of our lives, God is going to complete it. But you must have faith and confidence that when God tells you to take one step, He's going to lead you to the next step. And when you walk there, God's got a plan and He's going to lead you on. Come on, somebody, give God 5 seconds of your best praise. I don't think that it's because you guys don't have dreams. And I really don't think it's because that you're lazy, because you're not lazy. Here's what I think. I think that it's because you are locked in fear. And fear has established the limits of your life. And the fear of trusting a God who you can't see forces you to stay behind the fence. I did a little research, and I'm hurrying. I found out that in America, as of 2016, we had 2,998,000 people incarcerated in our prisons. We almost have 3 million people incarcerated in our prisons, and that's bad. But can I tell you, of the 3 million in prisons, is not nearly as many as the millions that their prison is called the fence of fear. And most people are willing to live a life of mediocrity. Is it a great life? No. But it's predictable. Yo, I could preach, I'm telling you, I could preach 20 minutes on this. This is why some people can't have many friends. Because they can only have what their fears limit them to. They just need one. They just need everything predictable. I've looked at some people and I say, why don't you do this? They look at me like I've lost my mind. You know why? Because that's not within their params of control. See, people get afraid. People get afraid when you start stepping out here. Do you understand that there are many, many people who have been incarcerated and no sooner than they get out, they commit another crime? You know why? Because they don't know what to do with freedom. Because for years, they've had somebody telling them when to wake up, when to eat, when to go to bed. See, here's what happens. When a person commits a crime, we don't trust them. And the reason why we don't trust them is because we say if they do it once, they'll do it again. And then what happens when we don't trust? We put them in a prison. Because now, when there's low trust, we want high control. Because we don't trust that they're going to be good members of society, then we say, you need to be in a controlled environment. Boys, I'm going to teach y'all how to put a fence up here. Y'all, here's my personality. This thing is fixing to go if I have to literally tear this thing apart. Y'all pardon me while you see my temperament. Oh, buddy. Oh, y'all, that fires me up. Sweet Holy Ghost, I need you now, Lord, so this congregation doesn't see a sight of me. You know why? Because I hate somebody telling me I can't do it. But you know what a lot of people would have done? Well, it ain't going to work. So I ain't going to spend time doing it. And that's why you are behind the fence of fear. And your life is not going forward. And you're settling for a mediocre life because fear is dominating you. And here's what I know about the Lord. When you get connected with the Lord, here's what the scripture says. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This, brothers and sisters, is not where God wants you to live. He that the Son has set free is what? Free indeed. Let's stand together. So in closing, let me ask you a question. Here we go. See, I'm going to do it. Oh, Lord, help me again. Are you serious? Y'all won't forget this, will you? Oh, Jesus. Help me to open it, Lord. Let it be like one of the miracles. Thank you. Yo, I'm trying to finish, but y'all bear with me. Do you know why Do you know why 2 million people walked in a circle for 40 years? Do you know why? I'm going to tell you. Here it is. Because they were willing to believe 10 men's report that they couldn't go in and take the land. So you know what happened? They were limited by their fears. Oh no, we can't do it. 10 people told us we couldn't do it. And here's Joshua and Caleb saying, hey, they're bread for us, man. We can take them. We got this. God is with us. They said, oh no. No. You know what? We look like grasshoppers in their sights. Man, they're big. God said, okay. You mean to tell me that I did all of that in Egypt to bring you out? I parted the Red Sea. Water came out of a rock, and I gave you manna from heaven. I led you with the cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. But you're going to believe that evil report, and you're going to live in fear. Okay, here's what's going to happen. Get ready. You're going to walk in a circle for 40 years. And you're never going to inherit all the great things that I have for you because you allowed fear to set your limits. Would you bow your heads? Lord, I know that you're speaking to all of us today. I know that fear can paralyze us with what ifs. What if I go on a diet but I don't lose weight? What if I try to get my finances in order and I can't? What if I go back to school and I can't make the grade? That's always how the enemy works. He brings these worst case scenarios into our mind of, if you try that and it doesn't work, you're going to look like the biggest fool. But God always wants to come in and He wants to remind you that if I'm for you, who can be against you? And if I'm fighting for you, who can fight against you? And God wants you to understand that when you get connected with Him, it's going to be a faith-filled adventure. And some of you this morning, you're here. You know what? You really, really want to reconnect your life to God. But because you hadn't made it in the past, fear steps in and says, don't step out because you may not be able to do this. And I just want to pray over you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every spirit of fear that would try to hold you back from recommitting your life to Jesus Christ today. I come against every spirit of fear that would try to lock you behind a fence of predictability and control. And I speak on faith this morning that somebody, this is resonating with someone, and someone is saying, I'm tired of fear setting the perimeters of my life. God, I want to walk with you in faith. And I want to sign up for this great adventure called faith. In the name of Jesus, right where you're at, if you're a believer, would you just slip up your hands and let's give God praise all over this house. Come on, we've come this far by faith, church. Come on. Come on, you've come this far by faith. Why don't you right now step out as just a sign? I'm not going to allow fear. I'm not going to allow fear to control me.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC De Quincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in De Quincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.